Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who have not had the chance to meet me yet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are really excited to have you. Today's an interesting day here at Hoboken Grace as we walk into this new conversation called the Divided States of America. For a long time, people have asked me, and frequently people ask me, to speak out on different political issues and different politicians, and for a long time I've said no, but as we've walked into, or as we're preparing for this series, we decided we'll just take today and I'll share with you all of them. And all of my opinions. No, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what this is about. But at the same time, we do think that there's a conversation that we need to have. And for many of us, we look at what's happening inside of our culture, and it seems like rather than the divides getting smaller, they're getting bigger. And it seems like rather than things getting better, it's getting worse. And we're looking at this and watching this happen, and we're faced with this question: how does my faith, how does what Jesus taught, how does that inform how I interact with what's happening in the world around me? And I think it's a question that we have to ask. It's a question that each of us has to ask, because the reality is that what God has for you is outside of circumstance. You guys have heard me say this a lot, that what God created for you to become and love and joy and peace and patience, the things that God has for us on this journey, they're outside of circumstance. You can experience that. You can experience the fullness of that no matter what culture you're in, no matter what time period you've lived in, no matter what the cultural situation is, you can find, you can know, you can experience that. It's outside of culture, but at the same time, God calls us to demonstrate that within culture. So he says, listen, you can experience my love and you can follow me and you can experience what I created you to be no matter what culture you're in, but I want for you to take that love and I want for you to demonstrate that inside of culture. As a matter of fact, when Jesus sends his disciples out, he sends them out to do just that. He says, I'm sending you to the entire world. I'm sending you to every culture because I want for you to take what you have experienced in me, and I want for you to take the truth of my love and that demonstration of my love, and I want you to take that to the world. And I want you to impact the world with that. I want you to demonstrate that in every culture. So the question that is crucial for us to ask as we look at what's happening in our culture is just that. What does love look like in the midst of a culture that seems to be dividing? What does love look like in the midst of division? And I think as we watch what's happening inside of our culture, it calls us to ask this question and for us to wrestle through that. And so for the next couple weeks, what I want to do is I want to dive into this specific question. And to look at, okay, with what Jesus has taught us about love, what does that look like inside of our culture? How do we live that out inside of our culture? And how do we impact our culture with that? Now, you have to understand as we walk through this, that at a fundamental level, I don't believe that culture is impacted by love because love instructs it. In other words, I don't think that culture is impacted by love because love steps in and tells it what to do or tells it how it should change. No. I think that if you look at it historically, culture is impacted by love because love is demonstrated within that culture And as that love spreads, it changes or impacts culture. And so I think even when you look at how the love of Christ has drastically changed culture, it's been because of the fact that people have lived it out within cultures. And as God has stepped into and moved in people's lives and changed people's hearts, which is the only way that hearts are changed, hearts are not changed because love instructs them. Your heart doesn't change because you find out what to do. Your heart is changed because you meet Jesus. And as people meet Jesus inside of a culture and they begin to live out his love, well, it has tremendous impact on culture. And historically, that's how you've seen the love of Jesus impact cultures. And so when you look at the early church changed the way forever, the way that people looked at and interacted with women inside of a marriage. Because the early church stepped in and Jesus' disciples stepped in and said, no, it's not just the husband who rules over the wife. He said, no, they need to submit to one another and there needs to be love that's shared in both directions. And we're going to value the wife the same as we value the husband. And they lived that out and it changed the culture. Love didn't come in and say, this is the way it should be, and then culture changed. No, it was demonstrated, and as it was demonstrated, it impacted culture. The same is true with the idea of treating someone and valuing someone the same no matter what their race is. That didn't change because love stepped in and instructed culture. It changed because there were these people who were followers of Jesus who began to treat one another as brothers and sisters, no matter what their social class was, no matter what their race was. And as love was demonstrated within the culture, it changed the culture. And so the question for us, from both a missional perspective and from a cultural perspective, is this question: what does love look like in our culture? And how do we live that out? How do we demonstrate that and allow that love to impact the culture? For the next 4 weeks, I want to walk through four fundamental principles that speak to how we should love inside of a culture that seems to be moving towards division every single day, a culture that seems to be tearing itself apart. The reality is we could spend the entire year talking about this. The number of principles that impact this are endless. But I want to focus in on four in particular that I think are incredibly countercultural. They are, in fact, the opposite of what our culture practices on a consistent basis. The first of them is actually found in a letter that is written by the brother of Jesus. And some of you don't know this, but one of the early leaders of the church was the brother of Jesus. His name was James. And James actually didn't believe in Jesus for all of Jesus' life until Jesus came back from the dead. So he didn't believe that Jesus was actually God until Jesus came back from the dead, which makes sense, because I mean, think about what your brother would have to do for you to believe that he's God. And so when he comes back from the dead, he's like, okay, you got me. I'm in, right? Because people don't do that. So James, as he's leading the early church, he writes to the church and he shares with us a principle that informs how we look at, how we understand love, and I think might be one of the most countercultural things that we have to begin to develop if we're going to demonstrate love inside of our culture. It's found in James chapter 1, beginning of verse 19. It says this. It's pretty straightforward. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Pay attention. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He's writing the church. He said, I want for you guys to practice this. Take note. Write this down. Right? Make sure you take note. If you're taking notes, make sure you write this down. Right? Here, everyone should practice this. Not just a few people. Every one of you. All of you need to be all in on this. Here's what I want for you to do. Here's what I want for you to do. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That sounds just like our culture, right? When those abortion laws were passed, this is how we responded, right? This is what Facebook looked like. When those laws were passed, we were slow to speak, quick to listen, right? I'll be honest with you, I'm not on Facebook very much, but my staff tells me that's not what happened. They tell me that this is probably the opposite of what happened. Because the reality is inside of our culture, we're quick to speak. We don't care that much about listening. And should it surprise us then that we're so quick to get angry? But James steps in and says, no, you have to understand, this is what love looks like. Love isn't quick to speak. Love is quick to listen. Love is slow to speak. And in that, it is slow to get angry. He says, love, you see, love cares about understanding. Understanding. We live in a culture that's completely lost its appetite. It has no appetite for listening, has no appetite for understanding. But God, as he stepped into our lives and said, that's not the way it's going to be with you. That's not what love actually looks like. Love doesn't respond with opinions. Love responds with questions. Because you see, love cares about understanding. It's quick to listen. I want to understand you. I want to hear you. I'm interested in what it is that's behind what you're saying. Love knows how to listen. Now if we're going to live this out, there are a couple things that have to change for us. And I think there are some obstacles in our lives when it comes to this. Make no mistake about it. We don't get to choose whether or not we think this is love. God has stepped into our lives and said, no, love cares to listen. Love is slow to speak. The question for us is not, okay, does love look like that? No, God stepped in and said, this is what love looks like. The question for us then is, well, how do you do that? How do you practice that? How do you become a listener? How do we actually move into our culture and become listeners? Let me ask you, if I were to go to your workplace and I were to ask them about you, would they tell me, would they say, man, he's an amazing listener? Or would they say, well, no, she has a lot of opinions. You see, love cares more about the other person than they do their own opinion. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that a fool cares only to air his own opinion. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. This proverb, as I watch what's happening in our culture, I just keep coming back to this. It's found in Proverbs chapter 18. It says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding. It says a fool is someone who doesn't care about understanding. Not only is it not loving to not care about understanding, it's foolish. The proverb says a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing their own opinions. A fool is someone who doesn't really care about listening. A fool is someone who doesn't really care about understanding. No, they just want to share their own opinion. And God has stepped in and said, not only is this foolish, this is the opposite of love. Love is slow to speak. It cares about understanding. I care more about you than I care about my idea. Like I said, it's quite countercultural. Because this is not the way that our world works. In our world, it's I care far more about my opinion than I care about you. And really, my only goal in this is to get you to believe my opinion. He says, no. Love means that you have to care about listening. But if that's going to happen, there are some things that we have to work through. And one of those is actually, for many of us, a fundamental belief. Because for many of us, we think, okay, truth changes the world. If I could just get everyone the truth, the world would change. That's why you're so passionate about your opinion. Because you're pretty sure that you're right. And you're crazy passionate about your opinion because, listen, I've got the truth. They need the truth. They clearly don't have the truth. And so, therefore, I'm going to go around and share the truth with as many people as I possibly can. And if I can convince enough people of the truth, and if I can share the truth enough, then I'm going to change the world. Listen, that's not what God teaches. And he has the truth. But it's interesting, if you look at what God teaches, God actually communicates that truth by itself doesn't change the world at all. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's trying to help them to define love, because why did Jesus came? Jesus came for us to know love, for us to know his love, for us to bring that love to the world around us. As Jesus gives his disciples his command, it's one commandment. He says, listen, I'm giving you one commandment. You love other people the way that I've loved you. And so everything that you see inside of what we call the New Testament, those letters that are written after Jesus gives his life, right? Everything that you see in there is defining love. And in one place in particular, Paul's getting really specific and he's working through, this is what love looks like and this is why love is so important. And he says this to the church at Corinth. He says this. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. For many of us, we think, if I just get the truth out there, it's going to change the world. God actually steps into our lives and says, listen, you can have the gift of prophecy. In other words, the gift of prophecy is, you know what's going to happen next. You can be right about the future and can fathom all mysteries. You can be right about the most difficult things to understand and all knowledge. What is he saying? He's saying you can be right about everything. And some of you are. You're pretty sure of that. You've got it. You've got it down. You're pretty sure. Like I'm right all the time. The people around you love that about you. He says, listen, you can be right all the time. Completely right. And what does he say? But if you don't have love, you amount to nothing. You amount to nothing. It doesn't matter if you're right, if you don't love. It doesn't matter. Truth without love is nothing. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say that to them. Truth without love amounts to nothing. Some of you, that's really hard. Some of you are like, I'm not doing it. No, no, no. This is about being right, and you got to be right. And if you're just right, then you just got to make sure everybody gets it right. And God says, no, no, no. No, and I'm not saying truth doesn't matter. Obviously, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not saying that truth isn't important. I'm just telling you this. You can always be right, and if you don't have love, you got nothing. And it will not change the world. And Jesus says, I'm sending you with the truth. But what is it that we're defined by? What is it that we're defined by? Does he say, listen, they're going to know that you're my disciples because you're always right. They're going to know that you're my disciples because you got the truth. That's not what he says. What does he say? They're going to know that you're with me because you love. By your love. Yeah, truth matters, but without love. And we have to begin to think that way if we're going to become listeners. Because a listener's motivation is love. The person who's quick to speak, their motivation is, look at what I know. Look at what I've gotten. A listener loves. I want to understand. God says, this is what love looks like. Well, we have to get rid of that idea that, if I just get the truth out there, I'm going to change the world. The other thing that we have to get rid of is that we have to get rid of our obsession with winning. And we have to, as we walk into these conversations and as we engage with one another inside of conflict, we have to ask ourselves this question. Do I want to win or do I want to thrive? The two are not the same. But oftentimes we walk into these conversations and we're so obsessed with winning that we lose the other person. Because we want to win the argument and we want to win the debate and we want to prove our point and we're so obsessed with winning that we lose the other person. Listen, we are in a culture that is no longer thriving because we've become obsessed with winning. And we are losing one another. And in the process, we are losing. Do you want to win? Or do you want to thrive? Love cares about the other person, not just winning. Do you care Do you care about them? Or do you just want to make your point? We have to change our focus from winning to thriving. We have to get rid of the boxes. We have to get rid of the boxes. And someone begins to share with you something, and immediately we put people in boxes. And so they begin to share with you, and you're like, oh, I knew it. I knew you were part of that party. I knew it. And we start to shove them into these different boxes. And rather than actually hearing them out, rather than actually listening to what it is that's behind what they believe or what they're saying, we just throw them into a box. And all of a sudden, we begin having these conversations from boxes that don't even exist, rather than actually listening. Rather than actually hearing them out. God says, no. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. When's the last time that you sat down and heard the story of someone that you disagree with? What's interesting for me is that I get to hear people's political opinions a lot. They like to share them with me, and I don't get to respond in those conversations, so I get to listen a lot. You know what has surprised me the most in those conversations over the years? I used to think that people believed what they believed because of some fundamental principle or truth that was behind it. I found that's not actually true. Most people believe what they believe because of something they've experienced. There's not a principle or a truth behind it. There's a story behind it. When's the last time that you listened well enough to hear that story? The story doesn't change truth. But you better believe it changes the way that you talk about it and the way that you deliver it, the way that you engage it together. When's the last time you asked enough questions to get to the story? We've got to stop putting people in boxes. I remember one of the most powerful times that I experienced this in my life. It wasn't because I was working to apply this principle. It really was just because I was curious. And I had moved from Michigan. My family actually had moved from Michigan to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And as I moved into this entirely new culture, I also found myself, during my time there, switching schools, and I found myself in a crazy place because I went to a school to play basketball, and the school that I stepped into was very racially, there was a lot of racial tension, and it was very divided, but I was on the basketball team, so most of my friends were black. And I remember as I was in that situation, I encountered two of the most racist people I'd ever met in my life. And by that I mean, like, they couldn't see past skin, and everything was about the color of your skin, and it just decided everything for you and about you. And I remember I had these two friends, and actually one of them was white and one of them was black, and one of them couldn't understand why I had the friends that I had on my basketball team. The other one couldn't understand why I wanted to be his friend. And I remember being in this situation, and I'm this kid from Michigan, and now I'm here in the midst of this, and I'm looking at it. And to be honest with you, like I said, I wasn't trying to practice this principle. It's just that my dad always taught me, like, since I was 2 years old, even a fool seems wise if he keeps his mouth shut. So I didn't used to talk very much. And I And I was in this situation, and I just started asking questions because it was so different than what I'd experienced before. And I'd sit with these two guys and just ask question after question after question. And everything that I believed going into the situation was proven to be completely wrong. As I got to know them better, neither of them wanted to be racist. Neither of them wanted to be trapped really in fear, which is what they were both trapped in. But I sat and listened to their stories, and both of them had grown up in homes where they'd just been told over and over and over again about how bad that other race was and how they're only for themselves and brutal. And there were stories that backed it up. And as I walked through that, I began to realize what I think is happening isn't what's happening. I don't understand. This is so important for us for us to grasp. You see, love understands that it doesn't understand. That it's more complicated than you think. There's more to it than you think. I'm not saying sometimes there's not more to it. Sometimes I sit down with people and they're explaining to me why they believe what they believe and there's nothing there. Sometimes that's the case. But more often than not, there's more to it than you think. And God says, love. Love takes the time to listen. Love understands that it doesn't understand. So it seeks to understand. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, I don't understand. You should say that to yourself every morning. I don't understand. I say that about my kids every day. I don't understand. A key to loving well is recognizing in humility, I don't understand. And I'm not just going to throw you in a box. I want to understand. I care. I care not just about being heard. I care about hearing. And I want for you to be heard. And I want for us to thrive. And I want for us to be able to tackle the problem together. But if we don't understand one another, we can't tackle the problem together. And none of us right now in our culture are tackling the problems together. We're not. Why? Because we don't listen. And God has stepped in and said, they're going to know you by your love. And love listens. Love listens. As our culture looks at us, Do they know us by his love? Do they look at us and say, they're the ones who listen. They're slow to speak. They care about truth, but man, they care about understanding me. They cared enough to listen. What does love look like in a culture of division? Well, love stands out in a culture of division. You know why? Because it listens. We should stand out in a culture of division. Because we listen and we seek to understand. We're slow to speak. And as a result, we're slow to get angry. We don't want to just win. No, no, no. We want to thrive. And we want for us together to attack and address the problems in front of us. May we be faithful to demonstrate His love inside of our culture. May we demonstrate the truth of what it means to be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray. I pray that you would help us to not just know this, but to practice it. I pray that you'd help us to move past the lie that okay, if I just have the truth and I just commute, that's going to change things, and help us to see that you, with all the truth, did not just come to us with truth, but you came to us with love. You gave your life for us in love. And in love, you helped us to see the truth about love. Father, I pray that we would be able to do the same in the lives of those around us. I pray that you would use us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we go out today, I want to do something a little bit different, because I don't want this to just be something that we know. I want it to be something that we live. As a matter of fact, as he continues in James, he specifically talks about this. He says, listen, don't just come to God's word and then leave and be the same. He says it's like someone who looks in the mirror and then doesn't do anything about what they see there. Right? And I can tell from the way all of you looked this morning that when you looked in the mirror today, you did something about it. I can tell that. Good job. Right? And he's saying, listen, don't be that way. Make sure that you apply it. Make sure that you live it. So here's your homework. I don't always give homework, but this week you have homework. Here's what I want for you to do. As you go into this week, find someone who you disagree with and have a conversation. Ask them to explain themselves. Now, here's the thing. You might not have to work at that. It may come naturally to you, okay? But in the midst of that, whether you find yourself in it or you actually invite someone into that conversation, what I want to challenge you to do is to practice this. Be a listener. Listen to their story. Why is it that, what's behind this? And what drives you in this? And why are you passionate about this? Now listen, be careful with your questions. Don't ask accusatory questions. And they're telling their story, and you're like, okay, so when in your life did you become a racist? That's not the kind of questions we're going for, okay? But ask questions that help you. I want to understand you. I want to understand what's behind this. You may find that there's nothing there, and that's fine. Or you may find that there's more there than you thought. The goal, though, is to listen. The goal is to love. And I want us to practice this. And so as you go into this week, try to find one situation where you can do just that. And listen for at least 15 minutes. Not 2 minutes. At least 15 minutes. Listen, for some of you, this is going to be the most painful thing you have ever done in your life, because listening for 15 minutes has never happened in your life. But for you to sit down and just listen to that other person, and as you come to the end of it, don't listen. So then at the end, well, my 15 minutes is up. Now let me, no. The point isn't to be heard. The point is to hear. The point is to practice love, so that we might be known by
love. Next week, we continue working through these principles. Invite someone to be a part of this conversation with you. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Sunday.